but then I went out in the foyer, and everybody's just so pumped. I don't know if you guys drank a bunch of coffee or what, but people are jacked up. And I have to go back to caffeine because I have high blood pressure, but I told the doctor, hey, fuck this for this weekend, I'm going to drink caffeine. And I'm like, if I'm going to die, I'm good. So anyway, bad joke. But I will say this, the energy is contagious, you know what I mean? And the reason why we create such a high energy experience and we focus on customer experience and we preach that to you guys is because you'll find that that's what people remember the most, you know, and that's why people want to do business with you in the future. And it just makes you unforgettable, you know? And think about this, you know, the way in which you receive information has a big impact, makes a big impact on your ability to implement. Like the likelihood of you taking something you receive and then applying it in your life or in your business, how you receive it, the seat where you were at, the room you were at, the people that surrounded you, the vibe, the feeling in that room has a massive impact on whether you do anything with that or not. And I've been to so many things where like the information was decent, but it was just packaged poorly. You know what I mean? And so you have to just think about when you start moving forward, the difference between the people who are going to crush it in the future, in the coming years, and the people who are going to get smoked out are going to be the people who can package their ideas best, who can put together their message best. And when you do this correctly, it's like magic. Like it's such a big differentiator from the rest of the people. And it's almost like an unfair advantage in business because now you're the person who can do this. And it's like when the thing that you do becomes like fun, creative, and all that, and somebody else considers that work, like what you consider fun, somebody else considers work, there's no way they can compete with you anymore. Because they're just wondering, how did you pull that off? How did you put this together? And you're like, this is just what we do, man. Mace asked me, he's like, bro, how do you make forward better? I'm like, winners win, you know? Like, you just keep coming up with new things and collaborating with other people. And so at the end of the event, I'll ask for you guys' feedback. We have an anonymous link, but we take your feedback seriously. I mean, oh, this is a great tip, by the way. I have ADD, so I'll just use ideas randomly and lose people all the time. But some people get mad at me for it, but you guys, I feel like we're all close now, so I can do whatever I want. But I have a, what was I even talking about? Oh, the survey. Gosh, okay. So the surveys, right? These surveys, whenever I ask people for feedback, you could do it in a group, you need to make it anonymous. Nobody tells you the truth unless you make it anonymous. If I just ask you, like, put your name in, put the thing, they're just gonna tell you what you wanna hear, or they're gonna be kind. If you want the truth, make it anonymous, and make it so you can't track it. So I'll give you one quick example before we move on. I had a mastermind event, and I always wanna make the mastermind better, and so afterwards I sent a survey out, and I was like, this one's anonymous, because Chris Doe told me, make it anonymous. And then I finally got the truth, like, these are the things they loved, and there was a couple things they didn't care for, that I thought they liked, but they didn't like, or whatever. And there's a few things that were just random. And what's crazy is people will like, they'll tell you the truth, man. They'll go in and be like, all these things. And I was able to take just that one survey and make a massive improvement in the next event. And then after the next event, people are like, man, this was the best one ever. And it's because of actual feedback. So if you're not listening to your clients and your customers, like ask them just straight up, like, hey, you could do this non-anonymous. Like one way we do this is ask people, hey, how can I make this better? Like, I know all the good stuff, I know all the stuff about you that you're gonna tell me I wanna hear, but give me something that I can get better at. Like, I'm tired of the compliments and the pats on the back. What could I do better next time? Yeah, like that, perfect. And so think about this, like, those are just things that we need to be talking to our audience, to our people we work with. Like, if all awkwardness and any repercussions were off the table, like, tell me, what could I do to be a better boss? Maybe like, dude, this thing that you do, honestly, this is really tough. You may not even know. And so I think a lot about what Ryan told us yesterday, it's so important that we start implementing in our business, with our clients, with our audience. And you'll just notice a big difference. It's a game of inches, and that's like one of the things we can do. So for our next speaker, it's along this whole line of like, how to improve the way we communicate with people, how to improve our leadership skills, how to improve our communication. And so I came across this individual through another speaker who actually is with the same agent. They have the same talent agency that they work with. And they told me, hey, you gotta check out my buddy's client. Like, he's doing some amazing things. And so I started research this guy. And this dude is a Emmy award winning actor. He's flies helicopters. He's just a badass individual overall. but he's written several best-selling books, and the latest book he actually sent to me is amazing. But the thing that I think is really impactful is I just want to work with people who truly care, you know, like about the audience and their work. And so I jumped on a phone call with him just to, you know, just to have an introductory call. And within like 3 minutes, I could just tell this is the guy. Like, he truly cares about what he does. He started asking me questions about you guys. How can I serve the audience? What are the people doing right now? What are they struggling with? And you can just tell a lot about someone based on the questions that they ask you. You know what I mean? And so I just felt like, man, this dude cares. We got to bring him to forward. So we made it happen. We moved a few things around and we got it dialed in. So for the final session today, we have Rain for just an amazing treat. I want you guys all on your feet. Okay, get on your feet. Let's get the energy going. In. Let's give him the best welcome we have. Just put a cap on this tree right now. Okay? Let's do it.
Between a brand that is successful versus a brand that is significant, I believe it's found in the moments that you create. You see, forward, not long ago, there was a little guy, little kid. He would go to school, he would sit in class, he would try to pay attention, and every time he did, his right hand would just start moving. And then his left hand, he just tapped constantly. And you know this, you're sitting in a meeting, and someone's like clicking the pen, or they're tapping their foot, and like, do it one more time, I swear. Kids are doing it! All the other kids in the class, they called him the twitcher. Kid got called the tapper, because he just couldn't sit still. And it happened again and again until one day, there was an educator. His name was Mr. Jensen. Had the boy in his class, as he was tapping in the back of the room, he said, excuse me, young man, hey, right here, listen, I need you to hold still. I also need to see you after class. You and me, we're gonna have a conversation. Could you imagine? I mean, all the other kids in the class are like, ooh, the twitcher's gonna die. Bell rings, class dismissed. Everybody leaves. It's a completely empty room, minus Mr. Jensen and that little boy. Teacher goes to the back of the room, grabs a big chair, little chair, says, come here, sit down. Kid walks up, he's really nervous. The first thing Mr. Jensen says to the young boy, he goes, do you know why we're talking right now? Do you know why we're having a conversation? And the little kid, nervous, he said, yeah, I know why. It's because I can't sit still. It's usually the only reason that anybody ever talks to me. And he said, listen, Mr. Jensen, I'm sorry. And half the time, I don't even know that I'm doing it. I feel like when I move, I learn better. But I feel like I can focus more. And Mr. Jensen grabs his hands. Looks the kid in the eyes. He goes, listen, you're kind of on the list. You tap. You do it in my class and you do it in everybody else's class. He said, I sit back and I watch. And he goes, you take a pen and you start writing with your right hand and then you tap with your left hand. And then in the middle of the assignment, you switch the pen. And you start writing with your left hand and then you tap with your right hand. He looked at the kid, he said, listen, I think you're ambidextrous. And the kid said, no, I'm Presbyterian. He said, no, that's not what it means. He said, just try this, I'm just curious. He said, can you tap your head and then rub your belly at the same time? He said, try it, little kid. If you do it, he said, okay, perfect, can you switch it? Can you rub your head and then tap your belly? And literally, back and forth, without thinking about it, the kid could do it. Mr. Jensen, he sat back in his chair, he looks at the boy and he goes, it all makes sense. And he leaned forward. looked him right in the eyes and said, "Young man, I don't think you're a problem. I just think you're a drummer." Some of you in the room were like, "What's the difference between those two things?" Yeah. "I don't think you're a problem. I just think you're a drummer." Now, do you remember before when I started today, I told every one of you that I'm an individual that believes in the power of a moment. One single moment that has the ability to change a person's life. Because in this moment, Mr. Jensen, the old teacher, he leans back and he opens up the top drawer of his desk. And he reached inside and he took out my very first pair of drumsticks. You see, Ward, I'm the kid in the story, and Mr. Jensen was my teacher. I was a kid that always had a hard time sitting still. I still have a hard time sitting still. I constantly moved. Everybody saw the issue. They saw an annoyance. They saw a limitation. But to one person, they said, no, he's not a problem. He's an opportunity. And then he created a moment with a pair of drumsticks that changed everything. I'll never forget when he put the sticks in my hands. He said, "Cliff, listen, these are for you." He said, "Take them. But here's the deal. If you take the sticks, will you just promise me one thing? Just promise me that you'll keep them in your hands. Keep the sticks in your hands and let's see what happens." That was 24 years ago. And I can stand up on this stage today and tell every one of you honestly that 24 years ago, literally to this exact moment, I have tried my best to keep my promise to Mr. Jensen. For 24 years, I've had the opportunity to tour and record all over the world as a professional drummer. I've been on America's Got Talent. I played the drums with the Blue Man Group. You sort of Blue Man Group. I was a drummer for Tim McGraw, Carrie Underwood. I remember when I graduated high school, I wasn't totally sure what I was going to do with the rest of my life. So what do you do when you graduate high school and you just don't know what you're going to do? You go to college, right? I went to college. I graduated with a miracle in 2012 with a bachelor's degree and zero college debt. Zero. Why? Music scholarships, baby. And here's the thing, I'm not saying all of this is all well for you, Clint, or what a list of accolades. No, I'm telling you this because of the foundation of what we're laying as we conclude this event and the power of just one moment when we choose to communicate potential and hope, opportunity, not just within the brand, but specifically the people that call you a leader, the people that call you mom, the people that call you dad, the people that call you an influencer, somebody that's striving to not just be the best in the world, but to truly be the best for the world. And this amazing event, Neil called me up and he said, "Listen, we're gathering everybody in Vegas. Clint, you would love it if you would come and conclude our event." I said, "I'm in." He said, "But here's the thing, I don't know if this is possible, but I also want you to play the drums." And so, forward, can I play for you?
I guess it's
before I play, though, I'm going to dedicate this to everybody that's here in the room. I know that there are times in your industries, whether it's real estate or we've got insurance industry, we've got a lot of different people in the room. There are times where you literally feel like you're living on an episode of Survivor. Say, "Vote me off. I'm done." We live in a world in a time right now, you watch the news for 5 minutes, you scroll on social media for 5 seconds. This world is really good at reminding you of all the things that are not right. But I dedicate this to the possibility and the potential of what happens when we choose to see what's right. We choose to see the good. Instead of the problem, we see the opportunity. And in doing so, you change the game. You change the narrative. And then also, man, every time before I play, I just have to dedicate it to my teacher, Mr. Jensen, the one person in my life, 24 years ago, who looked at me and said, "You're not a problem,
you're drunk. So this is for him, and it's for you. Being the best for the world. The only way
And really the only reason that I can stand up on this stage and speak to this concept is because for the last 6.5 years, I have traveled the world as the undercover millennial. Kind of like Undercover Boss. Have you seen Undercover Boss? It's like that TV show without the makeup. I'm a millennial, because that's the generation I was born in. So at the time when we did the research, I was young enough to where I would walk into businesses undercover as someone who was looking for a job. I'd put on a backwards hat, normal clothes. I'd walk in, I'd just say, hey, I'm thinking about applying. I'm just curious, before I apply, what's it like to work here? And the employees would always get quiet. They start to look around. Feels like an illegal drug exchange. And then they would tell me everything. They tell me the good, they tell me the bad. They tell me who they love and who they don't love. Why did they tell me? Because I'm not an employee survey. I'm not a one-on-one manager meeting. I'm just a potential hire. We have now done this with 384 different organizations, and as of this year, I have interviewed over 11,000 employees undercover. I'll never do it again. But the magic of all of the research was not found when I would go into an organization and I talked to the people and they were all dissatisfied with work. They all hated their boss. No, the magic was found when I would go into organizations like yours and I'd say, what's it like to work for you? And people would say, I love it here. I love it. I love what we do. I love my manager. I love like what we're building. It's amazing. It's not always perfect to dress, but I truly love what we do. And then I'd go to the next employee and the next. And they would say the same things. Why? Well, we decided to write a book about it. You can put this up on the screen. The book, see if this pulls up there, but became a number one national bestseller, not because of me, but because of the perspective that it captured. This is not another leadership book written by a leadership guru. No, this is a leadership book at the time that was written by 10,000 employees who knew what good leadership looked and felt like to them. How do we do this? How do you, I know some of you have just an assistant, some of you have teams of 30, 40, 50 plus. As you hope to scale, as you hope to grow, you're gonna deal with people. I have interviewed thousands of CEOs. I ask every one of them, what's the hardest challenge? What's the most difficult thing? Without a doubt, every one of them says, it's people, people, people. We've talked about AI, we've talked about sales, we've talked about marketing. We've done a lot of things at this conference. But ultimately, true influence, I believe, starts with you and how you create, not just success, but its significance. What if we could create a dynamic that because the people work for you, they go, I like myself best. A place where people don't just survive in this industry, but they actually thrive. A place where they don't just love the job, but they actually love who they are while they're at the job. Because of you. In every organization, I don't care if you just have an assistant or if you have 3,000, 30,000 employees, in every organization there are four different types of managers. You could call these realtors. You could call them leaders, you could call them CEOs, whatever your title is, I want you to put it here. I can always tell very quickly going into your teams, undercover, whether or not your team was just surviving or thriving in aspects of retention, loyalty, engagement, based off of two things. Standards and connection. The standards in our business are things like profitability, growth. Am I doing better today than I am yesterday? Am I growing? Am I scaling? These are the metrics in business that we can trace. The connection side of your business is the intangible side of what you do. This is when you realize that the people that work for you, they have a life outside of work. And people need to be seen. They need to be heard, understood. So these are the two variables that we will use. as I go through this, I want you to ask yourself, as a person of influence, which manager are you? Number one, the first manager that we found in the undercover research was the removed individual. This is the person that you're just tired, like you're burnt out. Like you should have retired from real estate 15 years ago, and you're still here. Like the thought of coming to this conference made you nauseous. Like you're kind of here, you're in the room, but you're not really in the room. So you're low on standards, you're also low on connection. What does this create in a team dynamic? Disengagement. Everybody becomes disengaged from you because you're disengaged from the team. The second and most common is the buddy, especially in the real estate world. This is the individual that's very low on standards, but they're high on connection. This is the agent saying, I love you, love me. These are the managers. They go play Xbox on the weekend with the team. And then Monday morning, they're like, listen, Steve, you've got to do better. And Steve's like, listen, Bill, I just saved you in Call of Duty on Friday. You're what, I'm the manager? Yeah, okay. So what it does is it creates a sense of entitlement on the team. Because you would rather be liked more than you're respected. This is where the team members, they become more of the manager than the manager. The third, and I would say almost as common as the buddy, is the controller. This is the individual that's very high on standards, low on connections. This is the person that's like command and control. Get it done. What do? We sell. Get results. Move. You don't want to be here? Leave. You want me to love you? No, smile. Smile, I give you a paycheck. Tomorrow's gonna be worse. Crazy! Command and control, my way or the highway. Perform. What does this create in the equation? Rebellion. Pushback. These are the managers. You go head to head with every employee. Sometimes fear-based manipulation. Sometimes it gets results, however, the results never last. And we are in a world right now, we are still in an economy where I can take a stone and I can throw it and I would hit a business that's dying to retain your people. Dying to retain your team members. And this is why number four was the magic. I do not call them a leader. I don't call them a manager or an agent. No, no, your team members, your people, they called you the mentor. In the story. The individual that was high on standards, but they were equally as high on their ability to connect. What did this create in the dynamic? Respect. Ladies and gentlemen, this is worth taking up the chair. Some of you are like, Clint, I'm all four in one deck? Then what? Mm-hmm. The goal is to become the mentor in the story. Mentorship versus management. Mentorship is unique because mentorship has to be earned. All of you in this room, you have titles. It's the people, though, that decide if you get to be the mentor. You cannot become the mentor until the mentee invites you into their heart. And I think we look at this, the same thing applies to parenting, by the way. High standards, high connection. So Clint, which one do I start with? As I'm building my team, as I'm trying to retain talent, as I'm trying to influence, I'm trying to help people write a better story, do you start in business, do you start when it comes to people with high standards, or do we start with high connection? Connection. Because of this simple phrase. Please write this down. No significant loyalty will ever happen in your business without significant connection. Why? Because every one of your team members is asking you the question, let me know when it gets to the part about me. Let me know when your business, let me know when your goals, let me know when your social media, let me know that because of what you do, I get to go home a better dad. I get to write a better story. I get to have a better future. And sometimes in leadership, we hear that and we go, well, those are tiny little shining stars in my life. Let me know when it gets to the part about me. And I would say it's not so much about entitlement as it is about good business. How do we bring that sense of humanity back into what we do? If we ever found an agent, a manager, someone in your industry that earned the right to become the mentor, meaning that people chose you. They liked themselves best because they were with you. They stayed longer, they looked great, they did, and you make more money with the other broker down the street, they stay with you. Why? It's because you possess these five C's. 6.5 years of research to understand this is the concept why somebody, I don't care if it's an employee or a customer, whether they choose you or they choose the brand down the street. If you've ever had a mentor in your life, you chose them. You chose them. I guarantee you chose them because when you looked at them, you saw this. It's literally the reason why you're here, right? You're choosing Neil. You're choosing forward because when you look at him, you look at this experience, you see confidence, confidence in a process. You see credibility. He's got a resume. He's got history. He's also competent. He's not someone that maybe was successful in the past. No, he's a practitioner, not just a theorist. He's also honest. I believe that great mentors have the ability to create relationships so strong that honesty can exist. And you also know that he gives a darn. He cares. I want you to think about this when it comes to people. Out of all the people that I interviewed, when people hated their jobs, they always talked about managers. When people loved their job, they described the manager as a mentor. And the simple reason is because mentors advocate as much as they strive to develop. If there's one thing that you walk away from today, thinking about, how am I advocating for my people? Instead of just trying to get them to perform. Out of all the years of doing this, I think the greatest example is my mom and my dad. Two very different people. My mom's really good at managing. My dad's really good at advocating. I was 12 years young. I had a stroke of genius. I went to my mother. I said, Mom, listen, we know your pots and pans could use a break. I really want a drum set. Like, really bad. And my mom was like, oh, have mercy. I was like, Clay, you sure you don't want to play the piccolo? I'm like, come on, Mom, please. Now my mom, being a really good advocate, being a good manager, she said, okay, I'll make you a deal. She said, you want a drum set? Have you seen your report card? And I said, dang it. She said, I'll tell you what. She said, I'll make you a deal. She said, if you change your C's and B's to A's and B's, we'll talk about a drum set. Do your job. Get it done. And we'll get to the part about you. I said, okay. All right, I went walking away. I walked past the computer room where my dad was hanging out. My dad heard the whole conversation go down. As soon as I go walking by, my dad goes, psst, psst, hey. I said, listen, I heard you were talking to your mother. I said, yes, Dad, I want a drum set. Do better in school. But when he reaches down to the bottom shelf where all of his CDs were, and he took out an old CD by the band called Rush. He said, Silas, listen to me. He said, this drummer, his name is Neil Peart. He will change your life. Take it. He said, listen to him. Listen to how he plays. I was like, okay, boss, thank you, Daddy. Wait. And he reaches down to the middle shelf and he takes out a CD by the band called Def Leppard. He said, this drummer, he doesn't have two arms. He's got one arm and he shreds all the drums. And then he put the CD right in my hand. He looked me right in the eyes and he goes, Clint, if you learn how to play Pour Some Sugar on Me, I'll love you forever. I love that story. It's, to me, it's the perfect example of the difference between trying to act. Who is doing sound? picture? Get out. No, I'm just
Yeah. Start pumping drums. The king is for that. Both in the woman, the doctor, can they have the stick thing? They will need, this for Zani. Okay, just check it. We started this conference together. We're going to end this conference together. Everybody, sticks out, sticks out. Follow along. Here we go. Man, at this point, y'all need Jesus. I look over at group one, literally everybody in group one is like, I like what group two's doing. And then group three, I look over and literally everybody in group three is like, just move your hands, he's not going to help. This might in some way replicate what it feels like when working with people. And it seems dynamic in an organization. In the few moments that we have, I'm going to share with you four things. Four things that I promise. Because at the end of this, I'm going to give you one last shot. And I promise, group one and group two, if you implement these four things, we will create the most epic ending that has been done at any keynote event ever. I also promise, I want us to have fun. I'm having fun. I want to have a good time. I want us to end this on a high note. But I also want this to be prescriptive. I want you walking out of here saying, this was worth the take. This was, I've got actionable takeaways. I've got something that's going to move the needle forward in my business when it comes to retention, when it comes to culture and creating an organization that people never want to leave. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody sticks down. Sticks down. Everybody have a seat and notes out. Sticks down, notes out. Successful people eat what they think. Okay, I want you to write this down. Step number one, the first step. You want to create an organization that people never want to leave? You as the leader need to become masterful at sparking the possibilities. When I say this, I want you to think of two words, potential and worth. When I say potential, I want you to think about growth. And when I say worth, I want you to think of recognition. What I did in the drum line with group number one is I represented what could be. I gave you the rhythm that you laid down a foundation that showed everybody else what to lean on. The drumsticks in the Mr. Jensen story, that's what they represented. It represented something I could become, and it also represented that who I was worth something. Great leaders in your business, they are learning how to do these two things for their people. Let's talk about growth. If I can't grow in your organization, as an employee, as a team member, I promise you, I'll go and grow somewhere else. One great thing that people in your industry are learning to do, so simple, but underutilized, is what I call a growth development plan. This is something you can sit down with an assistant, your team members, and you ask them, first and foremost, these three questions. What do you want on the team? What are you looking to achieve? Second, as your manager, as your boss, here's a few things that I can do to help you get there. And then it gives you the chance, because you've made a deposit of trust, it then allows you to make a withdrawal for standards. Cool. Here's a few things that you can also do to make this possible. Do we really understand the needs and wants of the people that call us leaders? But here's the fourth component that we miss far too often. Set the follow-up date. How do your people know that what matters to them matters to you? I'll tell you right now, the coolest part about your job and leadership is that it matters. The hardest part about your job and leadership is that it matters every day. Consistency in how we connect is key. Growth. How do I not just grow an employee, but how do I grow a person? That is the new currency in what helps people stay. Growing people, not just employees. Step number two was recognition, right? We talked about potential and growth. Recognition, worth. If I ever found an employee, a team member of yours, that felt seen, that felt understood, that felt like they were worth something on the team, because you as the leader were doing one or a variation of these six things for them. Notice this is also listed in order of priority. Notice that vocal praise was number one. Like, it would be nice if the broker would just say thanks once in a while. Like, it'd be nice if I just,
I got a that a boy or a that a girl. The crazy thing about vocal praise is it costs your business $0. Zero. But these are the things that people talk about. Out of all the interviews, 11,000, never, not once, did an employee say when I would go undercover and they would talk about how they loved their job. Never did they say, you know, I love the agency because we're just so good at time management. It's amazing. Trust me. Like, we run the best meetings. We always start on time. I'll never be. No one ever talks about this. What they talk about are the moments when you said no to a few things and you said thank you. The moments where you took time to recognize money's a part of the equation. Chick-fil-A Fridays, Taco Tuesdays. You created a dynamic with an award or a trophy, accolades. How people felt seen. They talked about when they had a baby and the agent provided 6 months of free diapers. They talk about when someone passed away and food showed up or flowers showed up at the funeral. Like little moments of recognition. That's how we create worth. How are people being seen in a way that they go, this is worth something, it's worth staying here. Step number two in this principle of creating synergy and an organization that people never want to leave, keep it simple. I guarantee, without a doubt, we have some of the busiest human beings on the planet in this room. You're busy, like even in this moment, the emails, the text messages, all the things happen. Raise your hand in this room if you love a good to-do list or make to-do list people. Yeah, there we are. We love that shot of dopamine every time you check something on. Can I recommend the power of a to-don't list? You're really good at to-dos. But your people, they spell influence, they spell significance. T-I-N. Granted, they can't spell that word, that's how they spell it. It's the same way your kids spell it. It's the same way your spouse or partner spells it. Time. How do you create more of it? There's been a lot of talk about financial affluence, growing, scaling. I think there's something equally to be said, though, for time affluence. How do we create more of that? I talk about the growth development plan, and some of you are like, Clint, I don't have the time. If you want me to sit down one-on-one with my employees and ask them like, what matters to them, and then create a plan that consistently I need to follow up on, like, I don't have the time. Then have fun being a solo entrepreneur, or be okay with the revolving door of turnover that will consistently happen in your business. Because far too many people are learning how to do this really well. And time is a currency when it comes to people. I think Da Vinci said it better than I can. Simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. You're walking out of here with a lot of to-dos. My hope is that you just add a few to-don'ts. In the rhythm. We saw this in group three where it became somewhat complex. Simplicity is how you do this. Step number three. Communicate to collaborate. I never said in the drum line that we couldn't talk to each other. But we started playing. How different would it have been if somebody, as we were kind of off time and we got a little bit lost, how different would it have been if somebody in group two would have stood up and, with their sticks and said, okay, this is where we're at, right here, come on. Everybody. It would have changed everything. Everything. Communication is key because every one of the people that follow you on your team, they have what's called a status. I came from the medical field. We would use this in the operating room. The status was your heart rate, respiratory rate, body temperature, blood pressure. That determined whether you were living or not. We would check the status of a patient, and the status would determine treatment. After we treated the patient, what do you think we did? We rechecked the status until healthy stability was maintained long term. Raise your hand in this room if you have an employee or a team member. I want to share with you a statistic. In this year, it is a 67% stat. And the stat is this, that 67% of the workforce in this in your industry, 67% of the people that are currently working are actively looking for a new place to work right now. 67%. Now, whether or not that's true for you and your team, I think now more than ever, the greatest thing that we can do to understand how to treat people in a way that they want to be a part of what you do is to conduct what I call a status interview. I challenge you, the moment you get home, to take your best employee, your best team member, and ask them these three questions after you begin with vocal praise. You let them know why they are worth it. You let them know why they mean something to you and the team. Create some psychological safety. And then ask these three questions. This was worth the trip, right here. The crazy thing about these three questions is most employees are never asked these three questions unless it's in the exit interview. When an employee always already comes up to you and says, hey, listen, Doug, I found a better job. Or hey, I see the move on. Or it's just not working. And then in that moment, you find yourself saying, oh, come on, Sally, like, what else can we do? Like, Becky, you know I'm coming into busy season. I need you. What can we do to keep you here? And then it dawns on us. We should have asked these questions 6 months ago. So my challenge to you is ask them now. Sometimes we look at these questions and we're afraid to ask, or you think you know what they'll say. The status interview gives you the opportunity to look for variables. Say, yeah, if you come home to stay, give me a 20% increase in pay. Give me a corner office, free Cheetos, I'll stay. And you're like, I can't do that. What it does is it gives you the opportunity to have a conversation, to create collaboration. And at the end of the day, if you can't reach a resolve, then at least you asked. There is no generational hack. There is no five key things that's gonna help you retain Gen Z. It's a lie, it's a gimmick. People are people. And every generation is diverse, and people are unique, and we all have different ideals and perspective. And the moment you as a leader understand the individual status of your people, it allows you to win on an individual level. And that's what people need. That's what separates the great organizations from the organizations that are just turning and burning staff. Communicate to collaborate. Last and final step. Listen wisely. I grew up on a farm. I learned really quickly, if you put a hard-to-catch horse in a field with an easy-to-catch horse, you're going to end up with two hard-to-catch horses. Right? You put a sick child in a room with a healthy child, you're going to end up with two sick children. Every great mentor was always being mentored. There's two types of people in this industry. Those that will constantly, they choose to see that what's good. They choose optimism. Nobody wants to follow a pessimist. They choose to see what's right. But then there's the people that it doesn't matter what's going on, they'll tell you what's wrong with it. Isn't it a beautiful day today, Randy?
Yeah, wait till tomorrow.
That creates perception. Your perception determines your reality. And whatever is real to you influences how you lead. You should do whatever it takes to associate with the astonishing people in this room. It is the power to me, in the small time that I've had in this amazing organization, it is the power of forward. It is the ability to associate with the movers and the shakers, the great people that are doing what you want to do in the way that you want to do it. Jim Rohn, classic motivator, saying you become the average of the five people that you associate with most. In our research, we found that leaders were an average of the three other managers that they listened to most. Who are you listening to? Who are we associating with? When we do the drum line again, group two, you have to listen to group one. But together, group three, you have to listen wisely in what they're creating. Because yes, we have our individual rhythms, we have our individual ideals, but collectively, we always win as a team. These four very basic, but extremely profound principles are how great leaders are creating organizations that people never want to leave. Ladies and gentlemen, it's go time. Everybody, grab your sticks. Everybody on your feet. Think through the steps. This is how it's going to work.
Gotcha.
The grand finale. We're going to start with group one. Group one.
Pressure's on. Don't lose it this time.
I got it.
Okay.
Somebody's got to
I have faith in you.
Let's get back up on the screen so everybody can see.
Then group two, somebody's gotta leave. The rhythm has to be different than group one. Look what's happening, I love it, we're talking. And then group three, you've got the hardest job of all. You gotta listen to the other two groups. Your rhythm has to be different in each of the steps. There we go, keep it. Listen, I just told you to tell me the names of some of the most popular, beautiful, prestigious, elegant, wealthy people, some of the most in the world. And for the most part, nobody knows who they are. But watch this. Raise your hand if you can tell me the name of the teacher who made the biggest difference in your life. Shout their name out. Raise your hand if you can tell me the name of someone in this room who's made your life a better story. Raise your hand. Point to that person and say, what's up?
Haley!
Can you see?
There is success, and then there's significance. Why do you remember them? Because they remember you. I guarantee you they were the people that sparked possibilities. They became the mentor and the story. They said no to a few things and kept it simple so that they could say yes to you. They communicated in a way that created potential and hope. They listened wisely and they became a simple ripple effect of the other Mr. Jensens before them. At this event, you've been given two things. Well, three things. Number one, you've been given the opportunity to be there, which is pretty cool. Second, you've all been given some drumsticks. And third, you've all been given the opportunity when this event concludes. When you walk out those doors and you go back to the place that we call home, you get to choose what you're going to do with the time that you spend with all of them. Please choose to remember that what we do is about people. What we do is about creating an opportunity where people, because of you, they get to live a better story. It's not about being the best real estate agent in the world. It's about being the best real estate agent for the world. And that because of you, we get to write a better story. Choose to create the moments. Choose to be Mr. Jensen. And if you do, I promise, the best is yet to come. God bless everyone.
Feel it.
Feel it.
Yeah,
over here.
This is the most uncomfortable time. Increasing the value of the things that you actually do. And so I hope that we leave this event today and just take that into consideration, like, how could I just make the things that we're doing more valuable? How could I take, not, you can't add more hours, but how can we switch out a few things that you picked up this weekend and really make an impact? And just remember what we talked about earlier, that small shifts, small tweaks equal big leaps. Keep that in mind as we move forward. But I just want to thank everybody from the bottom of my heart for you guys making the trip coming out here. It's been so impactful, and I'll never forget the experience that we had together today. We're going to kill that link today in the next 5 minutes, so nobody can use it after today. But if you want to join us next year, make sure you grab your half-off ticket, and we'll kill the link. And then you can join us. If not, if you didn't get it now, you can get it later. But thank you again for being here today. Thank you for participating. And I hope to see you next year. And then I hope to see you guys in our communities online. Have a great weekend in Vegas. Thank you so much.